2 Diabetes. This is an initiative of the Woodchopper and Health Service and Diabetes Queensland.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, culturally appropriate assessments for people living with dementia in the Torres Straits, one area of nearly $1 million in dementia research grants. We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Leander Mitchell from the University of Queensland and talk about this space that she's working in. Dr. Leander, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Really good, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, fitting and fantastic to hear the news. Money's a tool. There's $1 million at the table and help with First Nation people with dementia starting in one area. One project is Torres Straits. There is a gap between non-Indigenous people and Indigenous people regarding dementia. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And having the right tools to, you know, look at what diagnosis people have is really important. To be able to treat them appropriately.
And so cultural has got to be at the table, so to speak, and regarding a good bridge builder, and so we don't miss patients, yes?
Exactly, exactly. Culture is so important. We often think about different diagnoses, such as dementia, as being, you know, a very stagnant kind of thing. But if we don't factor in culture, we could be missing people with dementia, or we could be diagnosing people with dementia that don't actually have it.
And I suppose culture, as in cultural awareness, you could say, could be another part of the investment in regarding to non-Indigenous people who are working in this industry and having that cultural awareness when communicating with First Nation people, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, cultural awareness is so key. It means that you can actually communicate properly, you know, with people. If you don't have that cultural awareness, then you can't at least come to the table, as you're saying, and be able to appreciate what people are telling you about themselves.
Sure. So was the finding, was there like a research done in regarding the dementia to find out that there is a gap there, and how do we go forward when now that we've got money at the table?
Yeah, so definitely a gap. We need to bridge that gap and make sure that we are actually diagnosing people properly. As I mentioned, you know, we want to make sure and treat them appropriately and make sure that their well-being is well managed. And if we're not, you know, the gap is there, we need to fill it. And so we're really pleased to have got these funds to start filling that gap.
And so regarding our brothers and sisters in the Torres Straits, how are we working in towards that space? Is the medical centre up there, the hospital up there, is it well equipped in regarding doctors who handle dementia?
Look, they are well equipped, but what's the missing link is actual good measures. And so we're hoping to build on that. I mean, there are some measures out there, but they don't often take into consideration the culture. So we want to come up there. We're going to send some people up there and, you know, have a yarn with people and work out what it is that they're seeing and hope to develop some better measures in that space.
And probably looking at opportunities for First Nation people to be employed and help working in regarding building that gap and having that communication. As we say, First Nation people, black on black is a fantastic tool.
Absolutely, absolutely. And any of those kinds of opportunities we certainly keep our eye out for. I mean, that's the benefit of this kind of funding. You know, without that kind of resourcing, we get a bit stuck and can't move forward on these types of things.
And let's talk about quickly about the disease itself, dementia. It doesn't discriminate, black or white, young or old. I think along the line, dementia is mainly towards the older patients as such, or is it, like I said, not discriminate any age?
No, not necessarily. Look, and it can impact on people at any age, roughly from, you know, more commonly your 40s and age 40 and up.
Okay.
But certainly sometimes younger. And we just need to be aware that that could be what's going on for the person, because obviously the consequences of a dementia diagnosis are quite huge, you know, so we want to have that good diagnosis, good treatment, and help the person as best we can.
Yes, and what about prevention? What is the best way to prevent from dementia happening?
Look, the research tells us that in terms of prevention, if we can stay healthy, keep a healthy diet, keep exercise, engage in learning opportunities, building our brain abilities, you know, those kinds of things are the more common things that help.
Yes.
But also, we've got the situation where some really highly educated people also get dementia. So there's, you know, there's some help gained from just being healthy, staying educated, and those kinds of things. But as you say, you know, it can impact anyone.
Yeah, very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. And look, money's a tool. We've got some more money at the table to help close this gap and look after our elders, especially in the Torres Straits. But thank you very much, Dr. Leander. All the best to you, your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks, Trevor. That's great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there with Dr. Leander Mitchell, her name is, University of Queensland, and look, working in the space with our brothers and sisters in the Torres Straits. That's one area. There's 12 projects and nearly $1 million in support of working in that area with dementia. That's the yucky disease we're talking about. So culturally appropriate assessments needs to be at the table for communication and for working with our mob. So look, it's great to see. A good investment. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
You're talking about treaty, but us fly divided. We must unite as one. One Burma, but many tribes we fought. We are the yellow, black and red, and we mustn't let people dictate with all different kind of legislations. No way, no, no. Essentially, I envisage united black nations. That's what we must achieve before we go sell ourselves cheap for the greed and hunger of the Ghana. Burma fighting Burma, we must be smarter and come as one. Let's advance our black Australia. We've got to fight now for our rights. And if we want the rights, we must unite first together as one. Our voices will be stronger as one. And better the stands for our children. We must be strong now. And don't you dare be ashamed, you're a black Australia. The Murrays, the Kuris, the Noongars, the Nungas, and the Palawa people. And the Flapper Torres Strait Bomber from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands. I sing it for the Murrays, the Kuris, the Noongars, the Nungas, and the Palawa people. And the Flapper Torres Strait Bomber from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands. It's evident my people are still dying. And little brown baby skins are still crying. Sitting up and them seats sure. Essentially, I envisage a health education appointment board needs will diminish for generations. See, autonomy will give us the chance to rise. And if we're working together as one, we'll devise the master plan. A treaty amongst black Australians. We've got to fight now for our rights. And if we want the rights, we must unite first. You're a black Australia. You're a black Australia.
Palawa people. And the fluff and Torres Strait, mama from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands. I sing it for the Maoris, the Kuris, the Noongars, the Nungas and the Palawa people. And the fluff and Torres Strait, mama from the Northern Territory and the Central Blacklands.
Yeah, dedication there, Troy and Trevlin, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. That's the deadly number you need to call. Otherwise, text your brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page or BBM987FM. Yarnum with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Digital Radio Service for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up with Yarn now with Tony Gibbs online. TG, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor, Radio Brother, everybody else out there.
How are you traveling, brother? How are you?
I'm really disturbed by what's happening at the Green Patch. But first, can I just have a little bit of talk about dementia just quickly?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to add on to the previous thing. I heard this radio show on over the weekend about dementia, and it said one of the leading causes for dementia is lack of sleep, good deep sleep. And the thing said that when people have good deep sleep, you get all these chemicals and things that wash the brain.
Yes.
And they revive the brain. And if you don't get that sleep, and we're all disturbed people, and to be or not to be, what was the question?
Exactly. And then you look at the world we're living in at the moment, it's the information age, it's, fast and living life that we live. When you're talking, Facebook and all the social media, and a lot of people go to bed with their phones, and that keeps up a person, and it doesn't help in regard to the disease of dementia, you're saying.
That's right. That's what this radio report was, and I listen a lot of ABC, and that was the thing, that when you have deep sleep, the brain is washed with all these.
We're not a doctor, but it sounds like the best medicine when we're talking about, it's about rewarding your body. The body carries you 8, 9, and 10 hours a day, so give it the 6, 7 hours, 8 hours it needs for rest. But deep sleep is what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, you need that deep sleep, and it's really hard for all of those people in a disturbed racial world. Mm. There's other things happening. But I really want to get back, that's all I can say about that. That was what I heard is sleep. I want to get back onto the Green Patch, mate, and what's happening down there. It's got worse and worse and worse.
In what way? Because we know that they've got fences up and they've got gates and closed off the beautiful swimming hole and access to the creek. What else has happened, Tony?
What else has happened is on Friday somebody told me they're putting a fence around the back entrance, which is the main track from the town. And you walk along past the Catholic school there, and then there's a track that goes down the area and to the river.
But that's probably a good thing. That's the access where the motorbike goes, all the motorbikes go.
Well, there's a sign. This isn't where the motorbikes go.
I'll come to that.
Where the access track is, the council now, after saying they're opening it, and it's still not opening, they're building this fence around the back track. And it's in progress at the moment, and it was supposed to be open after they made some adjustments. They were supposed to put bollards in to stop people camping in the low area, but they put them all in, but they left one open so people can still drive in there. What's happened is yesterday there was under the bridge, which is opposite the entrance of the rest area down the bottom, there's probably about 20 cars in there, and I don't know how many motorbikes, and they're all doing wheel stands across the bridge, and most of them have got no number plates, and it's just, there's no peace for anybody.
Are they abandoned cars, are they?
No, they're not abandoning cars, because sometimes they go down the high bank, which they're wearing out, and forward, but mostly it's the motorbike noise. It's just incredible. I've been filming it, and what's happening, because people haven't got access, and it's not mowed down there. The council used to mow down there. We've got a car park down the bottom there, right by the riverbank there, which we used to go do and picnic and walk about. Now, we can't get there, and so And so the kids are starting in more increasing numbers to jump off of the bridge. They're jumping off the bridge because it's not safe to go down to the bottom because of the motorbike drag. It's been turned into a motorcycle, four-wheel drive, ATV park. It's just redneck wonderland, mate. No, I don't like saying that. I've got to live in this community. But the Green Pack is such an important place. And, you know, I had a flyer that's a bit controversial, and in the end I ended up putting our local councillor's face on it and our local MP. I'm not using any names, but there's only one of each in Gouldsville. And I put that flyer up, and I know it turns a lot of mainstream press off, so I'm working on this new flyer that will appear around the post soon. And basically it's a set of traffic lights. So at the top you've got the big red circle, the red one, and it's got stop on it. And then it says racism. Break down the barriers. We want the gates unlocked. It says break down the barriers, unlock the gates of the river. Stop on the red traffic light, racism, by Gouldenvale and Cairns Council. Then there's a little Murray flag. So the yellow of the sun of the Murray flag is the amber light of the traffic lights.
Yep.
And it says next to that, prepare to stop until we can proceed. And at the bottom, we've got the green traffic light, and it says until we can proceed to the river in the security and safety of our cars to the Green Pack Riverbank established car park. Now, the council said they were going to do a few adjustments, and it was open. Easter's coming up. And it's been shut for over 4 months now and is not due to open until May the 1st. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, and we can see there's no intention of it. And I haven't been able to get the mainstream TV stations to come out and cover it, the non-commercial side of it. And that's a problem too, because there used to be so many people there, and there was a labour pool, and they all went when the place shut. And they're complaining, oh, we can't get helpers on farms and workers and this and that. Mm. Well, that was great labour pool. There was 50 or 60 people there, and they all sort out where they're going to work and stuff. So I support the rest area, the camping area. I think there's a total unnecessary disaster around the cherry trees out there, and I'm sorry, before I called them fig trees, they're water cherry trees.
Mm.
And they're magnificent trees, and I've just found Donna's sketch pad there, and she sketched those trees and the view of the pyramid and the little mountain next to it.
That's a beautiful backdrop, the pyramid, the Walsh's Pyramid. In regard to the Green Patcher, you've got local support, and do local people feel the same way you're feeling, Tony?
Totally, mate. People, you know, there's a lot of Murrays pass through there and council workers, and they all say, yeah, we respect, we support what you're doing, but they can't complain because they work for the council, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to get involved because it's taken on a big crowd of, they're not all hoons, they're recreational bike riders and little kids on ATVs, but there's totally no peace. You cannot go down that river anymore. It's been totally destroyed, the peace and the sanctuary of the place. And as I said before, if they shut the beach, there'd be an uproar. Mm, we've only got
exactly
a river in it. And this is it, exactly. We have a river and we're being denied it. We're a noisy, noisy thing, and we're all sort of, you know, you want to go out the house, where do you want to go down there? So we have to go to drive to other places to get near the water, and it's just ridiculous because this town is built on a river. It's Dingy Murray Place, and I see families struggling to get down there, you know, like families with little kids, and they can't go down in the car, and they're pushing strollers and struggling with eskies in the hot sun. And you can't get into the... It's just a ridiculous waste of money for all the taxpayers. And we just look at it like...
Tranquility going out the window is what you're saying, brother.
Sorry?
Yeah, tranquility going out the window is what you're saying.
There's none, mate.
Mm, it's just, that's right.
Total noise. And it's just an extreme... Everybody's showing off doing wheel stands across the bridge. And there's still Murray, you know, there's the odd crocodile, but the Murrays all go down there together and watch each other, and I've been filming them from the bridge. They're all standing in the river, and there's, you know, I mean, there's crocodiles. The council's tired, there's crocodiles on the flood. that river has not come up once to a dangerous level since it's been shut since November the 1st. It was shut all Christmas. Easter's coming up, and the local council have told fibbers on the TV it was going to be open. It's not open, and it looks like they're closing it more. They're just storing it.
Yeah. Well, keep an eye on it and keep us posted. And if they're going to, it looks like it's going to a real lockout, a real shutdown, is what I'm picking up, Tony.
Yeah, if you had time, mate, come out for a drive and I'll explain it and you can see it. It's really hard to do on the radio, but we're not far away and it just really deserves a bit more attention paid to it because it's a dingy radio station, it's a dingy country.
Yes.
I mean, they break all the rules, they have a fun run up it. I don't know how the locals feel about that, but it's not Mount Warning, it's not Ayers Rock, but it's just being totally abused. And it is a sacred place.
They have the run to the pyramid, the race to the pyramid. Every year they do that, and it's a great draw card for locals. Are you against it, are you?
I'm not against it. Well, you know, I just want to stay on track and get the riverbank open. You know, and that's up for the Murrays to complain about that if they feel that way. But, you know, we're not a big city where you get a million people walking over the bridge for reconciliation. But what's happening in Gordonvale is totally unreconciliatory because it's denied people access to their river, which is a relationship with the people, with the land and the country, and it's totally denied. And this is what happens when you get a city council that's taken over the country town on the edge of...
city, yeah. Well, you're our eyes and ears, so please do keep us posted, Tony. Thank you for the call, my brother.
Yeah, I'll just stay focused on this thing and I'll report.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tony. A good yarn there. Tony Gibbs talking about the Green Patch. Very passionate local brother there. He was married to a First Nation lady who's with us in spirit. And he continues her fight as a First Nation woman with us in spirit. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. The daily number 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev. And you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Mother's lonely heart keeps reminding me of you and how I miss you, heaven knows. This hurt inside keeps telling me it's over, but I still love you, Curry Rose. In the evening we'd stroll down by the river, and as the golden moon shines brightly up above, there we'd watch the rippling waters as the river softly flows. I'd whisper words of love to Curry Rose. Well, now she's gone, it seems my world has ended. Without her, the stars no longer glow. Though they say we should part, she took part of my heart. And only God knows how I miss my Curry Rose. In the evening we'd stroll down by the river, and as the golden moon shines brightly up above, there we'd watch the rippling waters as the river softly flows. I'd whisper words of love to Curry Rose. Just remember, I still love you, Curry Rose.
folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
She said, I'm going out with my girlfriends, margaritas at the Holiday Inn. Lord have mercy, my only thought was to kill her, makes her clothes fall off. I told her, put an extra layer on. I know what happens when she drinks to troll. Closet's missing half the things she bought. Yet tequila makes her clothes fall off. She'll start by kicking out of her shoes, lose an earring in a drink, leave her jacket in the backroom stall, drop the contact down the sink. Them pantyhose ain't gonna last too long if the DJ puts Bon Jovi on. She might come home in a tablecloth if tequila makes her clothes fall off. Champagne broom, bridal shower with Bacardi punch, jello shooters full smirn on, but tequila makes her clothes fall off. She'll start by kicking out of her shoes, lose an earring and a drink.
Yeah, there it is. Tequila makes her clothes fall off. We say, well, how? Well, that's how. Have your say, Jan Armstrong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Jan with the Baldy and Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM, Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, next to News, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say, Jan Armstrong. Shy fellas out there. 045-714-0550. You can text the brother, but don't act. We know you're not shy. Otherwise, your keyboard warriors, BBM 987 FM, voice for our people, do utilise them. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Stephen Evans from CEG. CEG is Cultural Enhancement Group, a fantastic local group here in Cairns, and talking about culture and look, should be front and centre at all aspects of life. And when you're talking about 60,000 years and talking about the best foundation of life, cultural is should be front and centre, and it has, how you say, teared away because of colonisation or business and what have you, and politics and all the above. But we'll have a yarn with Stephen Evans. Come to join me in the studio. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Really good. Thanks, Trev.
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for coming to the program. Background, Steve, we say who you mob, where you're from. Stephen Evans, tell us your story, brother.
Born here, Gimoi Wallawarra, Yidinji land. Mm-hmm. So Cairns boy. And
yes.
That's been, the blessing has been to being, having grown up around so many different cultures because of, you know, we've got Cape York, Torres Strait, big mix of everybody comes into this area. So
yes.
That's been one of the best parts of my life. And of course, from that experience, we've formed, as you said, the Cultural Enhancement Group, which mm-hmm. Does its best to understand the deep wisdom behind all the cultures that are in this area and throughout Australia.
Yeah, for sure. And when we talk 60,000 years and how peaceful and how plain and strong it was, you know, and the white sails came to this country, turned it all upside down, it is the word we think of in Cultural Enhancement Group. They talk about the word chaos, and that is happening well, front and centre, where should be culture front and centre, and then there's no chaos.
Maybe they should have had that on the sales when they arrive.
Thank you. There you go.
C-H-A-O-S arriving.
Here it is.
Well, that's chaos. What we looked it up, didn't we? The opposite of wisdom, chaos.
Yes, well, exactly. So, and when you talk about wisdom and you talk about First Nation culture, wisdom to the strength, but the further you go back, what wiser we become, I think the phrase.
The further you go back in human cultural history, the greater the wisdom.
Yes.
So what does that say about the cultures of the first people? That's you're in the centre. This is it. This is the centre of the world for the heights of wisdom. It doesn't come with any more depth or intensity, and it's really the kingpin or the centre point of all decision making in this country, or at least it should be.
Sure.
Around cultural issues, and that's where the chaos has come in. You know what arrived here, colonial rule throughout the world, is really one of chaos because it's so intermingled with so many different decision-making processes, whereas traditionally it was the wisdom that ruled the LORE, LAW, all aspects of living where it came through that wisdom. So,
and when you're talking about the wisdom and how the world operated with culture, like, it's not a political sphere, is it? You know what I mean? It's not a chosen one, but the people look to a leader, so to speak.
Yeah, well, democracy is very new.
Yes, in the world. Democracy.
Yeah, very new. And the problem is that it's been given too much authority over too many different aspects of life. And, you know, if you break the world into sort of three simple ones, the economic, which is really supposed to be there to provide our human needs, food, motor vehicles, whatever it is needed, and political, which is really supposed to be there for law, LAW, rights, human rights, that sort of thing, which is where the democratic process comes in. So now you go into an organisation which is truly cultural. It could be health, you know, the many different health organisations that we've got up here that are forced to not run with their natural decision-making process. They're put into structures which have boards in place, and the only reason there's any wisdom within the organisation is what the culture of the people bring to it, rather than the structure itself. And that's where it has to change, you know, because it's when you go into any cultural areas, the authority is never, you know, you look traditionally, it was never done democratically. Mm-hmm. You didn't vote for an elder.
No.
You know, it was just recognised that that's where the wisdom flowed from and the decisions were respected.
So when you look at it, like a health organisation, for example, we're talking about funding, government funding, and so they've got to dot their I's and cross their T's regarding how the money's spent and where the money's been spent. So that becomes a political arena, and administration is what I'm thinking.
That's right, and unfortunately that's where the decision-making processes are coming from rather than from the wisdom of those who are in knowledge or have the wisdom of that particular cultural area.
Yes.
You know, whether it's education, health, well-being, the arts themselves, aged care is another big one. You know, you just look at the terminology you hear around the world these days. The health industry. My goodness me, it is not an industry.
Yeah, there you go.
And it certainly is centred in the economics.
So when you say health industry, then you think it's straight away a business entity.
That's it. And it is operated that way.
You know, it is operated that way.
The decision making process. Yeah, the decision making process of it. And yet health in its true nature is fully centered within culture.
Yes.
So it should truly be the those who are recognized as the authorities in their areas. You know, it could be the doctors, it could be the community, you know, the traditional healers. All of these people are the ones who make the decisions, not the administration, based on whatever rules they have to abide by.
To dot the I's, cross T's regarding the funding.
Yeah, well, funding, no, that's fine. Funding is falls, you know, right within either
it's
the economic or the administration. That's fine. That's their decision-making, that's their process. But that does not then fall into the actual true meaning or purpose of the organisation. What is the purpose of your organisation? Is it an economic one where you're producing something for humans' needs? Is it political, which is, you know, a democratic decision-making process, or is it cultural? And, you know, education's another good example.
Well, then again, culture is always to the far left and down the bottom, so to speak. It's not front and centre.
Well, like you said, Trevor, it's left behind both the funding and the administration. It's left behind those two, you know, as the last area to look at. Whereas if it's a cultural area, education, health, you know, these types of areas, that's where the decision making has to be centered, and everyone else in that arena, administration and the economic aspect of the business, support that cultural decision making process.
And then when if you look at culture as the front and center, then, well, let's talk about the political arena, let's talk about the funding, what have you. If culture is front and center, and then spiritually, harmony, respect, morality, that becomes the sort of ingredient, then you got less health problems. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You keep singing.
Singing to the choir. But then there's less problems and there's less funding to go on because people are stronger spiritually and then mentally and culture front and center, you know. There's the foundation to build an empire upon.
Yes, absolutely, Trevor. Yeah. And the four aspects of culture, knowledge, obviously, art, spirituality, and morality. You know,
and that's gone missing, isn't it?
Those four aspects is what would be the overseeing parameters of anyone making a decision within a cultural sphere.
Mm.
You know, it's moral based. It's got nothing to do with making a profit.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's secondary. That's supportive. You know.
Well, if you look at government funding, it's not about making a profit. It's creating a service, so to speak, and then we dot the I's, cross the T's in regard to administration, so the money is spent properly, so to speak. But if you've got culture at the centre, then the money is going to be spent properly in that degree that there's going to be less money at the table because we've got a healthier community, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, absolutely true. You know? Absolutely. Yeah, you know that well-being is centred on people's feelings.
Yes.
You know, and so is health.
Yes.
How they are feeling.
And so there is chaos happening at the moment with all aspects of life at the moment in regard to the 21st century we're living in.
Yeah, many aspects, but to me that one is the biggest. Just that clarity around what is your organisation? Is it economic? Is it political? Or is it cultural? If it's
so
cultural,
that's the question that should be asked.
That's the question.
All board levels and CEOs managers and teams.
Sure. Well, not much. The board is actually its true purpose of board is adhering to the rules.
Yes.
Which is LAW, which is political. Which if you make a decision on a board, it's voted for. It's democratic. That is not cultural. So certainly it's important that a cultural sphere has a board.
Yes.
But knowing their parameters, you know, the decision-making for the important aspects of the operation. Education is another one. If you're talking about children's education, the important aspect is about the child themselves, the unique child, how they're developed, how they're supported, how they grow in all aspects of culture. So you've got the morality of the child.
Yes.
You've got the artist or the unique creativity of each child. These are unique abilities. Obviously, the knowledge that comes into it and the wisdom that should flow from the teachers. So the teachers should have all these opportunity to express themselves individually, whereas what we've got is a cookie cutter type thing, where the teachers are so hand-tied these days that they are so restricted. There's none of the teacher's personality. They start becoming, you know, bored in their own jobs. And
well, every child becomes a file, so to speak.
Yeah, it certainly sort of feels like that. I've gone to a teacher-student interview and I felt so sorry for the teacher because of the pile of statistics she had in front of her. She forgot about the child.
Yeah, exactly.
Not her fault.
It's the system.
The system. And so, you know, the system is heavily administrated. Education is a great example of, you know, over-administration where the decision-making isn't based on the children.
Mm.
It's based on what suits the administration rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration rules are purely democratic, based on laws, based on processes, and that's fine. Yes. But they support the true decision-making process, which is what's best for the
child. And when you say they forgot about the child, and that's why our children are getting bored with the curriculum. That's why kids are leaving school at grade 9, grade 10, not even going to complete in high school because it's a form of boredom and textbooks.
Lack of connection, Trev.
Lack of connection.
Like the best schooling system I've seen, actually the children wrote their own textbooks.
Come again?
The best schooling system I've seen was where the children wrote their own textbooks.
So is that alive here in the 21st century, in Australia?
Yeah, of course. We've talked about it before. You know, Steiner education is probably the one that most closely parallels the wisdom of traditional education methodology.
That's a private education system?
Yeah. No, it's also in state. I think Victoria, they actually have dual streams where they run them in state schools as well. So it's both. It's either.
What's the head of education in this country?
ACARA is the official thing.
So do they tick that box for Steiner?
Yeah, education? No, of course it meets all the Australian curriculum and something else authority. What is it?
Authority, yep.
Assessment, yeah, curriculum assessment. Reporting authority.
Okay.
So that's the Australian, and then and the Steiner curriculum, of course, meets all that.
So you're talking about Steiner. Where's Steiner come from? Who's Steiner?
Originally, Rudolf Steiner was an Austrian man born late 1800s, died early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we've been able to understand, that all the things that he brought to the world basically lines up with the first people of this country.
Is that right?
It states very clearly that the first people
of the world. Well, you're talking 1890. You're talking about Steiner.
Mm.
Well, First Nation people of this country, 60,000 years.
Yep.
So they were before. But if he's talking about our people back then, way back in 60,000 years.
Well, he came and discussed exactly the same level of wisdom that is in this country.
There you go.
And supported it in every way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first, as you know, discussions we've had with other people, you travel outside of Australia. Many people have said this to me. As an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander man, when going overseas, receives much greater respect and reverence from other First Nation people than they do in their own country.
Exactly.
So,
that's powerful.
You know, recognised as being the first people.
Yeah.
And it's just,
because the brother we know went over to Canada, and there was a First Nation gathering of all First Nation people across the globe. And when our local brother here walked into the convention, so to speak, and on the reservations, they looked at him with respect. He says, "You the first people?" He said, "Yeah, we're all here, the first people." They said, "No. You the first people."
Mm.
That's goosebump stuff.
Ah,
tingling.
Obvious wisdom and knowledge, immediate recognition.
Yes.
You know, where do all people... And I've been into so many different arenas now with elders speaking and telling exactly the same story.
Mm.
This country, all the people from this country know it.
Yes, exactly.
People from other, you know, First Nation countries, they know it. What happened to the rest of the world? They're still catching up. We've got to close that gap. They're a bit behind.
Close that gap regarding education for non-Indigenous people across the country,
across the
globe, yeah. You know, need to pick that up. So we talk about culture, front and centre, respect, reverence, morality, art, culture, knowledge, spirituality. There's the foundation of a good world.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, Trev. And it's just that recognition, knowing that the three spheres of social life throughout the world have to be separated now because they are distinctly different decision-making
processes. And what are those three spheres again?
Obviously, it's politics, which is democracy,
mm-hmm.
which is really LAW, human rights, etc. That's all that should be. There should be no other aspect to that one. Economics is about providing us with what we need to live. Yeah?
So basic politics, economics,
and then obviously culture is everything else. Yeah?
Yes.
And that's a big long list of everything that's important to us as human beings. Yeah,
mm.
Spirituality, education, art, health.
And how do they use culture then at the moment, which creates chaos?
Well, culture, as you said, Trevor, it's sort of an afterthought with most organisations. It's sort of it's either a catchphrase or it's just not shown the obvious difference. And that's when it comes to someone who is strong in their culture and has a distinct level of wisdom about any particular area of that culture.
Mm.
They're the ones that are recognised as being the ones who make the decisions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's not like a vote, so to speak, you know.
It is definitely
that's
not
democracy,
a vote.
You know?
Because,
votes,
you know, just
I've
because
got the most votes, so I'm the chairperson.
Just because you're over 18 doesn't mean you've got wisdom.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas
yeah,
that's
point.
The basic law of voting. You have to be of age.
Mm.
Or being of you know, physical age has got nothing to do with your spiritual age.
Mm.
So, you know, much, much more the way that needs to be done.
So all children connected to the whole, not the breakdown, traditional culture connection, knowledge, art, morality. The world, but we're talking about culture which creates harmony. There's rhythm there, isn't there?
Yeah, true, Trevor. Yeah, if education is run in a purely cultural sense, what you will have is people coming out, children coming out, young adults coming out of that process who have those aspects you were just naming.
Mm.
You know, children with morality.
Yes.
You know, children with that distinct creativity that each child has uniquely, you know, because education truly is an art.
Well, our thoughts are very poor instruments, is what I picked up as well in regarding
Well, because,
education.
You know, it comes back to that word wisdom again. You know, so much flows from the past. And so you've got many nations in this world. Well, in this country, we've got the First Nations. The first. Nothing is the first. So it's just simple and plain and obvious that the deepest wisdom in the world sits right here with us.
Mm. And culture is the expression of the spiritual.
Yes.
Yep. Oh,
pre your life before birth. That's where culture flows from.
Mm.
Yeah. Goodness me.
We're saying here we are, 55-year-old men. We had this conversation 55 years ago.
Yeah, we're all together not so long ago.
There it is, exactly. So the fundamental social law, fundamental social order, FSO, is what you're talking about, you know. And when you look at the chaos, blame, justify, responsibility, that comes in the fray of things.
That's all the ugliness of it. Yeah, that's what flows from that chaos, yeah. And really a lot of those are just the opposite of what sits in morality, because you know, the morality of any culture is made up of the virtues, and that's what you're starting to list out there is all the opposite of virtues, how people carry on. Yet within this country, yeah, humility gives you goosebumps when you meet a humble person, and yet they are so wise in the way they carry themselves and hold themselves.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to be around. And, you know, the other aspects of morality is, you know, courage. Mm. And you've seen so many people stand up for their rights.
Yep.
You know, justice is a strong feeling within culture, obviously.
Mm.
So all of these things. And then temperance, how people carry themselves, their patience.
Sure. You
know, all these are aspects of...
But chaos takes away temperance.
Well, you know, chaos is, you know, it's the loss of wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it becomes very egotistic.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, as we've spoken about, can go either way. You can be egotistic and for everybody else or just about yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or egotistic for everybody else.
Well, you know, we have that feeling, and that's sort of one of those things that we were fortunate to come across is that the Nalu model, which, you know, talks about a group soul.
Mm.
You know, people working together.
And that comes from Uncle Joe Rowe.
Yeah, that's right, Trevor.
W.A. Noongar man.
Yep.
And powerfully talks about your Nalu, finding your spirit, you know, connection in that sense, you know. So methodology, body makeup, it's powerful in that sense, you know. And it's the culture front and center. It's not there, then it creates a chaos. And like I said, the opposite of chaos is the world we live in at the moment.
Because
culture is far left, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And so, yeah, I think that's the one thing that, you know, a question has to be asked: what sphere are you working in? You know, is the right leadership in your organization? If it's cultural, is it coming from a cultural leadership model, or is it coming from a democratic model, which really belongs to politics, or is it coming from a business model, which belongs to profit-based decision making?
Sure. And we're not talking about wearing all the staff wearing a cultural shirt and with the Aboriginal flag on it or something to that effect. We're talking about action and the core of the product, of the organisation, culture, front and centre.
What's its purpose, yeah?
What's its purpose?
Yeah. If it's not making money and it's not anything to do with laws and rules, if the true purpose is a cultural one, well, then the decision-making process has to be different to those other two spheres.
Well, then that creates a beautiful, foundation of ruling, so to speak, or affirmations, or people, all staff members are living with those phrases, so to speak, you know, when you're talking about, models of life. If that's front and centre of an organisation...
Okay.
Then you've got a great, fantastic organisation that has a strong foundation for building a future and bringing the community together.
Absolutely. And it's happening out. Like, it's not that it's not happening out there, because we've witnessed only too often how many organisations aren't being run with the right centre, you know, with the right understanding, and yet within those organisations there are so many people who have the wisdom themselves and they bring it to the table and make things happen anyway.
Yes.
Despite all the chaos.
Yeah, sure, exactly. So rising above it.
Yeah, that's happening out there, but, you know, let's get all the obstacles out of the way.
Yeah, sure.
Remove the chaos and let the right decision-making process happen in the right organisation.
Well, obstacles are those ugly things we see when we take our focus off our goals, our dreams, and driving the organisation in a cultural... a sphere moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
in the world we live in, 21st century. So that's our conversation there with Stephen Evans from Cultural Enhancement Group. He's working with two local brothers here in Cairns, and they're delivering that message across this beautiful big island of ours, Australia, and worth having a look at. How do people get in touch with Cultural Enhancement Group, brother?
Our email is CEG is probably the easiest way, CEG@outlook.com.
Okay, there it is. And you can catch touch with these boys and have culture front and center. I think it's fantastic a tool as well for, like, when we're talking about three brothers at the table, good for men's group as well.
Yeah, well, look, that's the fortunate experience we've had, isn't it, where we've been in groups with both men's and women. And,
yes.
You know, what we discuss remains neutral enough. We don't, you know, go any deeper than cultural permits.
Yes. So using culture there as the front and centre.
Yeah, but the commonalities that we can talk about still, you know, benefit everybody that's involved.
Yeah, for sure. As always, beautiful catch-up with you, Stephen Evans and Cultural Enhancement Group. And big shout-out to the team there. And, look, we'll talk soon, my brother.
Thanks, Trev.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there, Stephen Evans. Fantastic. Cultural Enhancement Group. Check them out, your mob. Google them and find out where you can have your organisation turn the chaos around by having culture front and centre to boost your fantastic organisation into the future, and having the team and the staff, the crew working together as one. And there we are talking, like I said, morality. We're talking art. We're talking culture front and centre. We're talking respect and admiration and all the above, knowledge and spirituality. Beautiful. Have you say, yarn up strong, but you may have to do that very, very, very soon, because we're coming up to the news here very soon with National Talk Black, and yarning up strong here with the Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, 1-800-422-416.
All in a world run away.
Yeah, to a brand new day. There it is, Dan Sultan taking you up to the news, NIRS. So stay tuned, you mob. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Trendy Trev signing off. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic, so abide by the rules, you mob. Get vaccinated or talk to your GP about your decision, what you need to do. To deadly.